survive without them. They speak that way, and people, unfortunately, sadly, treat them that way. Put them on a pedestal, which is the worst place you'd ever want to be, in the ministry especially. You want to be one who is lowly and humble. And Gary Hendricks was the pastor I was listening to. And he said the three greatest qualifications for a man of God are humility, humility, and humility. And that's so true. So Tychicus here, he's described in these ways. Well, I'm sorry, I jumped away from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let no man, Paul writes, so consider us, let a man so consider us, he says, I'm sorry, as the servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before its time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. And each one's praise will come from God. Moreover, he writes, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, a servant of Christ, a steward of the mystery of God. He had a unique calling, and yet the reality is that we are all called to that, to be servants of Christ, to be good stewards of anything and everything that God has given us, but to be found faithful. So this is Tychicus, this faithful man and brother. In 1 Corinthians, again, to get the heart of the Apostle Paul, and this was today's memory verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10. And actually, we'll jump back to 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I hope you can say that tonight, and do say that often to yourself, to when others ask you, you know, what's up with you? Why are you like that? You can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than all. And if we know anything about the Apostle Paul, we should say amen to that. You can just get blown away by reading about his life and all the sufferings and all the things he did and the traveling he did. Unbelievable. How could any one man have so much strength and stamina to do that? But he thought lowly of himself, but he thought rightly of himself as well. He says, I labor more abundantly than all, yet not I. Ultimately, it's not us, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. He was an instrument of Christ, hands of Christ, to preach, go to the Gentiles in particular. But his desire was to be faithful, and he was, but not of himself. It's not from us. We can't force ourselves, call it up, drag it up from within. It's not in us to be faithful. We're faithful by the grace of God, by the intercession of Christ, by the mercy of God, by the work of the Spirit. It's all of grace and grace alone. Getting back to Tychicus, the first thing mentioned of him before I go there, I'm just going to describe his ministry. It calls him a faithful minister. What did he do? Did he go around? Was he an itinerant preacher? Probably not. What did he do? Well, he was a helper of the Apostle Paul. He was there with others, helping the Apostle Paul. But particularly, he was a courier. He would go from city to city bringing Paul, in this case, Paul's letters to the other churches. And I know some have said that he brought the letter to the Ephesians, to Colossians, and probably Philemon. But he was they didn't have mail service, no internet, no email. How did the information get around? People would take it as a courier and run with it, bringing the precious, precious Word of God on an errand to the churches of God. And how precious is that? I mean, we can just open our Bibles or go on our phones and read it, yet they had to depend on somebody who would be faithful. Can you imagine? And you're giving this precious, precious letter to somebody, and he takes it. He says, yeah, I'll deliver it. And he gets halfway there, and he gets distracted, and he falls asleep, and the letter never gets there. What a horrible thing. But that wasn't Tychicus. He was faithful. He did what he was called to do. So he was a courier of this letter and others, a fellow laborer in the gospel. And the title of the message was Faithful and Beloved Brothers, as we start this section. And that's where they end. Sometimes they're sisters in Christ, they're brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, and beloved. But again, they don't appear to be the stars. They don't appear, they're like bit players, but really, really important. The Apostle Paul, the kingdom of God, the delivering of the gospel could not have been done without these men and women in their service and being faithful again. First thing mentioned is a beloved brother. And here Paul says it, and he says it in a way of a particular individual. He said, beloved, my beloved, and used that in a general term, speaking to the church. Or is there any Christian who truly isn't beloved in the Lord? No. All are beloved, all loved by Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. God the Father said to Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We are in Christ. Therefore, we are beloved of God. We're the beloved. So that would apply to all Christians. But here it's used in a particular way. It is used in that way. Of course, Tychicus is included in the beloved of God. Again, not of ourselves. We're not lovely, but God set his love upon us and changes us and makes us more and more like Christ. And so, but we are beloved because of Christ and in Christ and a brother. I believe that Paul means it in a more personal way. This Tychicus was a personal courier of the mail, of the letters. It's personal. So there was something about Tychicus that made him beloved to the Apostle Paul. It's okay to have special friends, the Lord Jesus at his inner circle. It's impossible to love everybody the same. We are commanded to love the brethren, right? In a particular way, the brethren, love our neighbor as ourselves, but especially in the household of faith, especially in our own, we are to love the brethren. But it's not wrong to have those that come alongside us and for one reason or another, helpers minister to us in a particular way. Somebody, just think, if you've been a Christian for a while and you've gone through a severe trial, maybe a death or something, some other thing that you really got the wind knocked out of you by this trial, and you had a brother or sister come and just have a timely, encouraging word. And that or somebody who was your father, in a sense, in Christ, who brought you to faith in Christ or nurtured you in Christ, a former pastor or a friend, somebody that, and those people just never leave your mind and heart. You continue, as long as they're alive, you continue to pray for them. They're not your true blood, flesh and blood, but they're closer than that in many cases. And so I believe that this is how Paul's referring to Tychicus. He's beloved. It's a special, particular love that he had for him as a fellow laborer, a minister alongside him, so helpful to the church. You see, Paul loved above everything else. He loved Christ, but he loved the church. He loved those who gave themselves for the church. And so Tychicus was one who gave himself. You'd think it was easy to deliver, to be a courier and to go over the terrain and to put yourself in danger. And it was not. But that didn't matter to Tychicus. He was faithful in that, and he did the job. And that made him beloved. That gave Paul a special love for Tychicus because he was alongside, because he was faithful, but all by the grace of God. And he was a dear, faithful brother. He uses the term down in verse 9 of Onesimus, beloved brother. He uses the term other places in Scripture, but just in this book here, verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. So he's not just throwing around the word, and that's important. Paul doesn't do that. He just doesn't call everybody, hey, brother, hey, sister, you know, in that sense, even though we're all in Christ and all brethren, right? But he's making a point to point out these people that they have he has a particular love for them and they for him, I'm sure, and for the reasons why we're given here, that Tychicus was faithful as a minister and a fellow servant or slave in the Lord. And he loved the church. He was faithful to the church. What would, just think of it, if you ripped out Ephesians and Colossians from your Bible. They are, I mean, it just, it could be unbelievable. So those letters, not that the Holy Spirit didn't carry men along to pen every single word, jot and tittle of the Scriptures, but yet he was used by God, and Paul loved him with a special love. He put the church first, and so Paul loved Christ and Christ's bride, and he loved Tychicus. Second term that's used is faithful minister. Now, some have said that this, because he used, at least in the New King James Version, he uses that word minister. So you might automatically say he was a pastor or an elder. There's not a whole lot of evidence from my reading that that's the case. Could be, he could have the gift of preaching. It's more along the lines of a deacon, the idea of the word of a servant, a minister, a faithful minister. He could have been well accomplished in preaching, but that wasn't his main task here with the Apostle Paul. He would help him. He would come alongside. He would carry the letters. He would be faithful. And in that sense, he was a minister. He was a beloved brother who ministered together with Paul. He was a fellow minister, a faithful minister, rather. And again, with the emphasis on faithfulness, faithfulness in Christ. Servants of Christ, a deacon is one of the, whether it's elder or deacon, one of the key qualifications is trustworthiness and faithfulness. And somebody who's seeking to be a pastor and yet is not faithful in his marriage or in his home with his own family is not qualified for the office of pastor. So likewise, deacons ought to be tested and trustworthy. And so it's a characteristic that's promoted in Scripture, but not only for those in either pastors or deacons, but for all Christians. And that's so important for us to see. Tychicus is not the Apostle Paul, may not have even been a preacher or an elder of a church. It doesn't seem like he was, but he was one who helped and served and didn't think, obviously, all about himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been faithful. He wouldn't have been that kind of a blessing to the Apostle Paul and to the church. He had to be sound in faith, faithful. It's not only trustworthy, but sound in faith. He knew the truth. He was sound in it. Paul could trust him. He was not going to be giving in to sin and untrustworthiness. And so he was a faithful minister or servant, deacon in that sense, servant in the Lord. These are all in the Lord, faithful ministry. The third one is the fellow servant or slave. Again, that's why the first scripture reading was in Mark chapter 10, where you can obviously see, and it's always easy for us to see their pride and glorying in something they wanted to be on his right, on his left, and Jesus gently rebukes them and encourages them, actually. He says that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, that's a definite rebuke there. He's saying, listen, you're my disciples, but even the Gentiles, you know, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Servant, bondservant, slave, a servant. Christ came as a servant. It says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's the example. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We are to love our spouses. We are to love the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, in a sacrificial love, and imitating or using Christ, the suffering servant of the Lord, as the example. So a fellow servant, one alongside and with. Paul here includes himself. See, he wasn't putting himself on a pedestal, even though he could have, but he just wanted to be a faithful servant of the Lord, a faithful slave of Christ, someone who is giving himself and would do whatever he was asked to do. Obviously, Tychicus was like that. Paul wasn't, again, using these terms and just trying to flatter him, build him up. He didn't talk about everybody that way. He was being honest, and this is, of course, the Word of God, a fellow servant or slave in the Lord. If Tychicus or anyone else is not in the Lord, you cannot serve Christ. You can't follow Christ. You don't love Christ. You're outside. You're without Christ and without God in this world. It's in the Lord that we become slaves. Our slavery is transferred from sin and Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. We become his bondservants, his slaves, his servants. And Paul thought of himself that way. He didn't think more highly than he should. He thought of himself lowly, the least of the apostles, the chief of sinners. And so we likewise, we need to be low, but we have worth and value. You don't want to go to the other extreme and say, I'm nothing, I'm dirt. You are blessed by God, and all that we are is what we are in Christ. Christ makes all the difference. I'd ask you tonight, are you in Christ? Not what you did, what position you have, whether it's high or low, or it doesn't matter. What matters is what the Lord thinks of you, what the Apostle Paul's, his judgment. And he knows whether you are in Christ or not. And if you're not, if you don't know, if you're not, then you need to flee immediately to Christ, because there's no safety outside of Christ. Those outside the ark were all the time in danger, and they perished in the judgment of God. Outside of Christ, you are under the wrath of God, condemned already under the wrath of God. The command is to flee to Christ to be saved. So that's why Paul highlights fellow servant in the Lord. If we believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, we are safe in that ark, in him, in Christ alone. Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 8, Paul tells us a lot about Tychicus the first, beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will tell you all the news about me. He had a mission. He had a service to do, and he was faithful at it. He was to tell them about the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Paul about them. He says, I am sending you to him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's very similar language, so similar that you could miss it and rewrite over it, but that you also may know my affairs. Paul wanted to know how they were doing. He wanted them to know how he was doing. Why? Was his ego getting big at this point? And he wanted them, you know, it was all about him. You got to know about me. No, Paul knew that they would, part of their suffering and struggles were that they suffered along. They heard what was happening. He was in prison. He was being going through much great suffering. He wanted them to know that it wasn't for nothing, that he was still alive, that he was still focused on Christ, and Christ was upholding him. And so that brought comfort to them. He says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, and faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. How would it comfort their hearts? And why was Tychicus chosen to do that? Why was it his ministry to not only bring letters, that would be great enough, you would think, but to actually bring the reports to the churches who were like bated breath, waiting to hear. You see, news didn't get transmitted like it is today. In an instant, you can know about something, or you could type it in, make a call, whatever. It didn't come that way. People didn't hear for quite a while sometimes. And so they waited, and just at the right time, of course, by God's good grace, Tychicus would come. But he was a comforter. He was like, even in the sense that same Greek word, parakletos, it's the comforter, the encourager, the one who comes alongside to bring not only good news, of course, the good news of the gospel, and we can assume Tychicus knew the good news. He knew the gospel. He was faithful. He was full of faith. He was a servant of the Lord, but he was also a comforter. And how important is that? Just in the scheme of things, but more importantly, in the kingdom of God. How important and what a wonderful ministry to be able to come to people, to a church, and bring them comfort, encourage their hearts with news. But you know that he just didn't stand up there and read the letter and say, now you know it, and leave, walk off. He brought the news, but he was there with them, and he had a heart for them. See, Paul calls him a beloved brother. Why? Because he was like that. He was faithful, and he had a heart for the church, for the people of God. And that's how he delivered this news. That's how he came with the news and brought comfort to them, to their hearts. It says the same thing in Ephesians. It says that he was bringing that comfort to them who needed it. And Paul needed it as well. No one is above needing the comforter, of course, the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, yes, but most often people who bring the Word of God to us, sometimes in a rebuke, sometimes to encourage us, sometimes to spur us on to fight the fight better. He says, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Just think, it says it both times in reference to Tychicus. It says to comfort your hearts. Paul had a heart for them. He wanted them to be comforted because Christ, ultimately, it's Christ who is the one who is comforting and loves his church. James Smith writes about these fellows in Christ, fellow ministers, fellow slaves or servants. We are fellow citizens, the commonwealth, the citizens, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're fellow servants of the same family, brothers and sisters, fellow laborers. If you come to Christ and just think that it's like you're just signing up and, you know, you don't have the mindset that you're going to come to him, casting your whole self on him and follow him, which means it implies serving. It implies giving your life for Christ. Now, we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all bear the same amount of fruit. We don't have the same faith to the same degree, but we better come to Christ as he calls and bids us to come and serve him and love him and follow him. And there's a meaning to that. Fellow laborers, we need to be in the fields laboring. Fellow soldiers of the same army and same warfare. Fellow sufferers, not coming to Christ to, again, ease into heaven on a bed of flowers or roses, whatever the expression is, but fellow sufferers, yes, expect suffering. Fellow helpers, to assist one another. Now, none of us can help the Apostle Paul. He doesn't need our help now. He's in glory. But we can help one another. We can help the pastors. We can help deacons. We can serve one another in the church. If you're doing nothing in this church, you're not fulfilling your calling. It's not helpful. Fellow helpers, fellow heirs, joint heirs with Christ, fellow citizens, dwelling together in unity. How important is unity in the church? Again, fellow brothers and sisters, fellow ministers, faithful minister, fellow servants. If we're in Christ, we're accepted in the beloved. We are all taking that yoke, taking the cross upon us to follow him. And ultimately, Christ, it's Christ who is the faithful one. You see, we'll fail, we'll fall, but Christ will hold us up. He ever lives to intercede for us, that our faith won't fail. That's why we keep going. That's why we press on. We may stumble and fall, but he won't let us go. He'll keep us by his mighty power. Are these in any way, any of these three, beloved brethren, faithful minister, faithful servant, do any of these describe you in any sense of the word? And can Judgment Day honesty, can we say that we're a fellow servant or slave in the Lord, a fellow faithful minister? And there again, it's not a technical minister. We minister to one another. We minister and a beloved brother to anyone. Is that of any sense of reality to us? It's good to check ourselves and say, well, I probably could do better. And that Tychicus, be an example for us as he follows Christ. We want to hear on that day, what are those words we want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Again, none of the good attributed to us. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. And God's grace transforms us and gives us the grace to be faithful servants, slaves of Christ. And ultimately, the greatest thing is to know that our names are written in the book of life in glory. That should bring joy to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your goodness to us tonight. Have this little-known man, Tychicus. Father, we don't know a tremendous amount of information, but Paul here writes about him and with these precious, precious words. The greatest words there are being in the Lord, in Christ. And we're thankful we're in you. Father, we pray that you'd work in the hearts of those who might be here tonight who are not truly in Christ. And none of these things are true of. Father, help us. And bless us and bless your word to us. Father, we just thank you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our final hymn. It's 731 in the hymnal, "And Can It Be?" And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, just die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, just die for me? 'Tis mystery all, the mortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angels' minds inquire no more. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angels' minds inquire no more. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. Humbled himself, a yours of love, and bled for all his chosen race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for all my God it found out me. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for all my God it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I walk the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. One more. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach.
approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own.
Amen. That's a good hymn. Amen. Close with the benediction for tonight from Jude 24, 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you.